football on off the ball.
Toby, I'm just a little bit standoffish, to be honest. And I just said that to the lads in the dressing room. We're getting too much respect. And for me, on a football pitch, when you give teams too much respect, it's a fear. Yeah, didn't like it.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Nadine Doherty, Orla Duff and Fabian Cooney have joined us to talk about the big match tomorrow. Fabian, you're actually talking about the races, though. There's a bit of Galway in you. Yeah. What a Galway race is actually a state of mind. If you're, it's a blessing to be from Galway, but tell us about your love of race week.
Well, race week, if you were there, it wasn't good because that meant you were knocked out of championship.
Yes. We used to always, like, say, you know, back in the old days, gosh, the hurlers, at least they got knocked out before race week, although that could have changed. And you'd see it very harsh in the hurlers, but Galway race is great crack.
Yeah, it is. It's a brilliant time to be from Galway. And I suppose I haven't got to experience it now the last 3 years with kids and all that, but hopefully we'll be back to it soon again.
How many kids?
Two.
Boy and girl?
Both, yeah.
Yeah. One ages?
The girl will be one tomorrow, actually. And
one
himself.
Tomorrow?
Yeah.
Ah, for All-Ireland final day?
Yeah. She was born, actually, just the day before Galway were in the All-Ireland final last year. So I get to go to that.
What are their names?
Stevie and Keila.
Oh, lovely, lovely. How does it change it as somebody who had... fathered a child, anyway, a year ago. how has it changed?
I just don't really have time to do anything else for yourself.
Don't even time to think about it.
I don't even know what day of the week it is sometimes. But it definitely gives you a different type of endurance. And
even for the Galway race. I've gotten to the stage where actually sometimes I don't know whether something happened today or yesterday. I'm like, and maybe that's just getting maybe a little bit older. Are you excited for tomorrow? Like, what's the mood like in the county?
Yeah, we're absolutely buzzing. I can't wait. It's always going to be a good game between Meath and Dublin. There's that rivalry. It's built up from the men's game. It's there from when we played them in 2021. I think it's going to be a cracker. And fingers crossed for Meath tomorrow.
What has changed since the start of the year, and why should they turn around form against Dublin? Or is it a case of Meath are actually peaking at the right time now?
I think it's a case of peaking at the right time. I think they've made good progress throughout the year. There's that mix of experience and newer players coming in. So it takes a while to kind of settle into the mould and kind of get used to playing with each other when there is that mix. I suppose when we had that success in 21 and 22, we had been together pretty much since 17, 18. We'd lost the 18 and 19 intermediate final and then won in 2020 in the intermediate. So it takes that time to build. So I think that's what the girls have done this year. They're working well, the experienced players, whether it's, you know, Vicky Wall or even Cleary, even Shauna Ennis coming back from a cruciate injury. And then the newer players into the fold, like the likes of Kerry Cole, who's been, you know, on fire and up at front. So, yeah, I think that mix of playing with each other and having the time to settle into each other and with new management coming in, it's reinvigorated Meath football this year, and they're hopefully peaking at the right time for tomorrow.
We'll talk about hand turn and all that, but just on Vicky, if you can put yourself in the dressing room, how much of an inspiration is that just to see that face there and that, like, it's almost like looking at a winner?
Yeah, absolutely. She is an athlete, as I would put it, full stop.
Regardless of what sport she puts her hands in.
Yeah, absolutely. She gives 110% to everything she throws her hand at. She's a real motivation in a dressing room, you know, to give you a clap in the back to keep you going. She's a great inspiration to have in a dressing room, and I've no doubt that she'll play a big part tomorrow.
How do you call it, Nadine, before we get into the game?
She's hit me straight away there. I think it's very hard to look past Dublin. I think overall, they're just probably a little bit more balanced. I know we talk about benches. Dublin have used 30 players this year. Now, a lot of that has been because of injury. You know, Carla Rowe's been in and out. Orla Nolan's just back. Kate Sullivan was out. But I just think they have that little bit of impact coming in. And I think with Meath... Now, you might know more than us, sort of, but it looks like Katie New is out, who's a massive loss. So Sean Ennis will likely come in there. And then you're kind of looking at the bench thinking who is going to come in if there's an injury in the defence or if they need to switch it up, because Shauna has been the only defender who's come in as a sub in the last three or four games. Then in the middle, Orla has been brilliant, Orla Sheehy, but she's been replaced by Katie Birmingham pretty much on the 20 minutes to go mark. And then up front, there's been one change. So you kind of just look at that with me. It kind of have had three subs. And outside of that, there isn't a whole pile. Now, they do have options, but I just think with Dublin, they have a lot more to come off the bench. And I do think you look at the two starting 15s, and I just think overall Dublin are more balanced. Like, that Dublin forward line is unbelievable.
Yeah, so, like, in fairness, panel depth will be absolutely massive, right? So is that a fair point?
Yeah, I definitely think it is a fair point, and potentially could Meath have used maybe a few more players earlier on in the year, trialled a few more. Yeah, you could say that. But I suppose then it's hard to make those changes when a team is kind of trying to gel. So you can look at it from the kind of two points of view. But I do take that point that there probably is maybe that little bit more experience on the bench. If Sean Ennis has to start tomorrow, then she was the kind of experience that was being brought in the last few minutes to kind of drive it home. And she was getting a score, I think, nearly every...
Yeah, she scored 1-3 in the last three games.
Yeah. Like, she is a big player. And from, you know, I'm a great friend of hers. She is just a great voice, a great, you know, a driving force within a team to have. So, look, whether she comes on or she has to start tomorrow, she will make a difference. But your point about, you know, having that depth of bench, it is hard to know whether, you know, Meath have it. But, look, you never know. All-Ireland final days are there to be won and anything can happen. Like, what
and
happened
that's
in 21?
Like, in 2022... when you won your second, I think you only made three changes in that game. So, you know, like, here I am making a point, completely go out the window. But I think with Dublin as well, I just look at that Dublin forward line and I look at the Meath, the full back line in particular, and you look back to that league final. While I don't think the result will have any impact psychologically on either team, but you were just looking at patches of that game.
Yeah.
And out of the six starting forwards for Dublin on Sunday, only two of them played the full match that day, so like they're much stronger. And like in the first half, okay, Meath were ahead for three quarters of that game, but every second attack Dublin looked like scoring a goal. Like, there were times that they absolutely ripped Meath apart there, but they overplayed the ball. So I think they will look at that, and if they, you know, fix that overrun of the ball, like it could be very, very tight for that Meath full back line at times.
What vulnerabilities did Dublin show against Galway then?
Oh, God. Well, like, over the 60 minutes, you would have said Galway, you know, should have won that game. But I think, like, looking at Dublin, they just have that bit between their teeth this year. I think that's why as well that I can't, like, overlook them to win it tomorrow. I think
so
they've
just
come...
So what's changed from last year in that regard?
But I think that the loss, I suppose, the Galway defeating them in last year's semi-final, I think that really put a sour taste in their mouth, that I think they've come back this year with a point to prove. So... vulnerabilities, I don't know, like, they kind of got stronger as the game went on, and as Nadine said, like, that forward line, I think that half forward line, especially with Orla Nolan coming in, she was unbelievable when she came on.
And she's, I suppose, you look at Orla Nolan, and again, I mean, you look at Katie New, who's out, Caoimhe O'Connor for Dublin, very likely that she won't play, and you have Orla Nolan coming in at centre forward. Like, it's incredible. And while, okay, you're losing the running power of Caoimhe O'Connor, Orla Nolan is probably one of the best passers of the ball in the game. Mm-hmm. She's going to give Dublin a completely different, I suppose, outlet in that regard. But then you still have your runners, and Kate Sullivan, if she comes out the pitch a bit, you still have your runner and Nicole Owens. Like, they still have that pace. In terms of weak links, like, with Dublin, and we talk about this all the time, like, if the referee doesn't like the way Dublin are playing the game, then that could cause them a bit of difficulty in terms
explain
of frees. Well, I mean, the Galway game was very physical. I mean, it was really physical. Yeah. And you could see the Galway players getting clearly irate because everything was being let go. And it suited Dublin. And when you talk about Dublin being driven, you could see them coming in at halftime. They played against the wind. They came in at halftime. Were they up by a point or down by a point, maybe? And you could see Martha Byrne, Leah Caffrey, clearly, you know, they were really, really up in that regard. But if the referee refs it in a different way and the foul count goes up and there's a sin bin here, there's a sin bin there, like, Meath will capitalise on that, absolutely. So while you want physicality in your team, I think Dublin might have to be careful in that regard.
I actually think the last time I was talking to, maybe was it Vicky Wall in this studio, she was like, this is a couple of years ago, absolutely love the physicality of the game. So where will that battle be won tomorrow?
Yeah, I think both sides have to be careful not to concede frees in scoreable zone, because Meath have Emma Duggan that is will take her free, and so do Dublin with Hannah Tyrrell. So, you know, do we want to have the game come to, you know, like a point shootout? Probably not. you know, you want more scores from play. But
how erratic is refereeing in that regard, depending on the referee on the day? Because it's like one person could see something different as well.
Yeah. It's become like very difficult. I think
it's the team who's going to adapt quickly to the style.
You have to kind of make that judgment pretty quickly when you get into the game and filter it throughout the team that, okay, he's pulling up on this or she's pulling up on this, whatever it is. And they're going to have to do that fairly quickly.
Was that a frustration when you were playing that it was kind of almost like we're not exactly sure what to expect here and it could be two extremes of one?
Yeah, I suppose it's the same in the club game. Charge. You know, sometimes you
don't know.
You fall on your back and you don't get... other times you get it. It is very hard. It's probably hard for the refs to call as well, you know. There is that, maybe, obviously, a lot of players say it needs to be looked at, that kind of physicality rule and especially that charge. So, yeah, look, I think it'll just depend on what happens tomorrow early on and the girls just need to adapt really quickly and it's not going to be a call for management. It's too loud in Croke Park. You just need to do it there and then filter through to everyone on the team and make sure, look, we're keeping our foul count down.
Well, okay, so we might extrapolate onto rule changes then, because like from the men's game this year has been, I don't know, it's like a liberation.
Yeah.
Almost like returning the game to the Gaelic footballers, like as opposed to smothering the really good players into death, right? So it's a very interesting argument as to where, like, what changes you guys would want. Mm. I'll start with you, Fabian. So, like, what changes would you like to be brought in, if any?
Well, I suppose going back to the physicality, in the last decade, probably, like, S&C has really improved. Girls are stronger, faster, fitter.
More gym work.
100%. The two semi-finals the last day, like, every single girl out there is an athlete, you know. So the game hasn't really progressed for us to allow, kind of, showcase that physicality a little bit more. Especially in the 50-50 challenges, you know, a 50-50 challenge, like maybe a shoulder and shoulder or whatever it is, a free is called, but you don't know which way it's going to go. You kind of want to see it maybe flow a little bit more.
Where does that come from then, that spiritual guidance from the top? Or where are these decisions made? Because it's an evolving story.
Well, I suppose technically it's a non-contact sport.
Yeah.
You know, that's what the rule book is like, which is crazy, really.
Which is almost insulting at this stage.
Yeah. A little bit, Yeah. So it does need to progress with the, you know, the abilities of the girls now. Like, and as from a spectator's point of view now, you want to see it flow a bit more. And I think as well, as you said, it has improved immensely, the men's game. Mm-hmm. And we're talking more about the players and not about the officiating, which is nice. And I suppose another rule change, which I'd love to see, is the mark in the middle of the pitch from the kick out. When you see it done in the girls' game, like, it's such a it's a great skill to see. Like, I do think, like, Lorraine Scanlon from Kerry, like, when you see her catching the ball over her head. Yeah, you want to see that that given.
I find this fascinating because I remember Eamon Murray was more, he was more the traditional side of this in terms of the rules at the time, but that Vicky Wall, this is a couple of years ago now, but where are you on it? Because for me, I enjoy watching the physical aspect of the game, whether it's men or women.
Yeah, absolutely. I would totally agree. I think there has to be that, you know, allowance for that bit of physicality. You know, I think it's only fair, like you said, there's just so much work in behind the scenes and S&C and, you know, girls getting stronger and it just, you know, everyone's just going for the ball. It just happens that, you know, people take hits. That's part and parcel of the game. So
what rule changes would you bring in that the men have brought in, if any?
It's hard to know. I suppose the playing back to the keeper, sometimes we, like the goalkeeper, do we do it maybe too often? But look, it's probably what you're playing. When I was, you know, in there, we played what was in front of us, I suppose. And if the best option was to give it back to the keeper, but it probably would allow for maybe the game to be a bit more free flow, and if it didn't go back.
Yeah. I don't think we can compare it just yet because we actually haven't progressed with what we need to yet.
Which is what you need to, like.
I do think we need to let the game flow a little bit more, allow that physicality, and maybe take out the sin bin because it's such a harsh punishment for something that could be completely accidental.
Yeah.
Like the ladies' game, it's not a cynical game. Like that has not, it's never really there. So I, well, like I suppose as a back as well.
Interesting point though, like, because you, I suppose you want to feel part as well, like Nadine, of that upsurge in good feeling in terms of the game across the board, because like it has been major swing this year. And I'm a Galway man, but like that, in with respect to the Galway Armagh game last year, it was like the nadir of Gaelic football. We have to go on from this, and they did an unbelievable job in the men's level. So what would you change?
Yeah, I suppose I'd change plenty. Yeah. And I think just talking about the keepers, like you'll see Abby Shields and Robin Murray are both, they've great feet. Mm. They take it give and take. We'll see a lot of that tomorrow. So I'd take out the back pass. I'd take out the rule whereby you can't hold your player off, which is absolutely ridiculous. Yeah. So again, we're talking about players who are strong and they can't use that to their advantage. I'd love to keep three up front. I think
is that the one that like? The
yeah, I really said. Think so, because I've honestly watched every championship game this year, and we are going defensive. Mm. Whether it's, you know, it's the coaches who have come in. A lot of coaches come in from men's games. There's been a number of intercounty coaches in the last few years who had absolutely no experience in the LGFA, and they got handed a senior intercounty team, which is very interesting in itself.
Mm. It feels like an article there, yeah.
There might have been one or two. Yeah. But I think we're creeping in. It is creeping in, the old men's game, as you would put it. And, you know, we were able to sit back there for a long time when the men's game was so poor, and we were able to market our game.
Yeah.
You know, I used to sit and shoot and say, we have a brilliant game. It's quick, it's fast. You know, we don't play blanket defences. And we do now, and we will see a little bit of it on Sunday. And in the intermediate game, we'll see a load of it. And the junior game, we'll see a bit. And especially at intermediate level, you have coaches in there who are simply coaching blanket defences. I've seen clips of games this year, and there have been no forwards in the other half of the pitch. So I'd love to see the three up. I'd love to see it. And I think we need, do you know what? We need changes, because we just need a bit of focus on the game for a positive. And I think if the LGFA did that, and it comes from the top. You asked that question, it comes from the top. I mean, Congress is there, it serves a function, but, you know, I think if the LGFA promote rule changes themselves, I think they'd be passed quicker. So there's a lot that can be done in that regard, because the game is in danger of slipping off the map.
Really?
I feel it is.
Would you agree with that feeling?
There's probably points for and against it. I suppose when I hear rule changes, I'd kind of automatically think of what would it be like at club and school level? Mm-hmm. I'm not so sure. Maybe if you were to just implement it at county level. Mm-hmm. But I don't know if it's slipping off the map just yet.
As a defender, like, so if they brought in the three up top, I have to say now, when I was looking at all the rule changes, I wasn't even in the men's side. I wasn't even sure about the two-pointer, but I thought if you put three players that have to be at least in the other half of the pitch, it'll be a massive change. It does seem a bit of a no-brainer, though, for E as well, like.
Yeah, it probably would be a positive thing, especially when you do kind of have a lot of men's coaches going into the ladies' game, and it's kind of like it's an easy fix if that's what you want to, or maybe a lazy tactic at this stage.
Yeah.
I think that's something that we need to look at, like trying to get more women in management.
Mm. How do you do that, actually?
It's a great question.
Yeah, it's kind of, I know, it's almost like a cultural thing or something, and management is not attractive to a lot of people, men or women. So how do you encourage them to get into this?
It's very hard because, like I said, it's such a commitment. Yeah. Like, the hours and hours, you know, as players, the hours we put in.
It's a full-time job as a player. It's a full-time job as a manager.
Yeah.
Because you're never off. You're always on. It's like, if you checked your WhatsApp,
blah, 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 blah.
Your manager's going to be online. You know, it's constant. So it is that thing about, you know, having the time to do it. And obviously, yeah, being steered in the right direction, making sure that, you know, there is access for women to go into managerial roles if they want to. But there has to be kind of, you know, the path laid for that to happen as well.
Yeah. The LGFA, to their credit, they have a pathway. Yeah. They have a coaching pathway for past players, which is amazing. It's not filled every year. I think from county boards level, okay, let's look at Mayo at the minute. They don't have a manager. I wonder if Cora Staunton got a phone call. I mean, if I was on the Mayo County Board, Cora Staunton's in with the Ballina Men.
Yeah.
Highly regarded. She's Cora Staunton.
Speaks really well about the game.
Speaks really well about the game. Great insight.
Biggest inspiration ever.
It's a no-brainer.
So are you suggesting that Mayo might not have actually done this yet?
I don't know. I don't know. You'd hope that they have. Mm. But I think that's just one example.
Yeah.
But, you know, I feel every county board, you need to be identifying possibilities, you need to be identifying past players, and you need to approach people, because as women as well, sometimes we're you know, it's proven in studies, you know, we would be less likely to put ourselves forward for things. And
in sports?
Or I think
in,
across the board, yeah. You know. It's not an overall job, but generally we would, you know. So I think women, it's, if they're approached then and the seed is planted, you'd have maybe a better chance of getting
and
somebody
more
in.
Than once.
Yeah, and I'm not talking for every single woman. I'm not saying that.
Yeah.
But,
yeah.
You know, it is a proven fact.
Well, I think there's an inverted racism with black managers in football because there are hardly any. It's really, really weird. It's just like, how are there so many, like... How are all of the managers white? And I think there's an inverted kind of like subconscious race in there. Is there, if a man and a woman go for the job in Gaelic, is it like, okay, well, maybe, yeah, sure, he's, what do you think?
I don't really know. I think probably the first problem is that maybe not many women are going for it, full stop.
So I'm lacking the confidence for like?
Yeah, I think, and as well as that, if you don't have, you know, that experience, I think you have to start at probably club level and you need to, you know, dip your foot in there and then, you know, keep progressing from there. And if you're not, I suppose you have to be willing to put yourself out there as a woman and try these things, otherwise you're not never going to really progress. And it happens to be that, like, you know, coming from the men's game, men are just, you know, coming to, and almost sometimes it's like a transition that men will, you know, manage a women's team for a while and then move on to a men's team. It's fine. Sometimes it's seen as that kind of stepping stone into the men's game for the CV. So look, there's a lot of things to contend with there, and I suppose we just need to kind of promote that, you know, there are women out there that can do the job and can do and know just as much about football as men do.
But I suppose when you spoke about like having kids, the other thing is so much time. Like, it's just, I'm done with playing. Thank God I've gotten my life back. Maybe I don't want to actually commit again.
Yeah, there's probably a bit of that as well. And I think if you were to think about, like, myself, if I was thinking about going into manage a team, like, I'd be like, oh my God, there's so much to do. Definitely in years gone by, that's the way it was. Like, you'd have, like, from literally admin to everything else, like, there would be so much for one person to do. But I feel like now it's getting better. Like, there's so much already now set up, especially county level, set up, put in place. I think it is getting a bit easier maybe for someone to come in and take the role. So hopefully, you know, in years to come, we do see more women. And I see... in Galway, like, they're at underage, there is women starting to come up and play, and you have the likes of Sarah Keneally and Gillian O'Connor and a load of girls that are coaching, and hopefully one day we might, you know, see them with the senior team as well.
Fabian Cooney, Nadine Doherty and Orla Duffer. Do you ever get that sort of, what's your actual, how do you pronounce your name? It's an unusual
time.
One.
Yeah, all the time, yeah.
And what's the go-to?
Thanks, ma'am. Yeah.
What was she thinking?
Yeah, what was you thinking? I just say, if you can't say it, just say Fab.
Fab.
Yeah.
From Fab to Nadine. Nadine, you were going to have an article. I was actually plugging a bit of... rugby, a former Sunday Independent journalist, earlier writing a book, in Brendan Fanning. Your article tomorrow is going to focus on obviously the game, without giving it all away, because it'll be online later. What are the matchups that will decide this?
I suppose the biggest one is who's taking Vicky.
How do you manage that power?
Like, exactly. Past three meetings, young Grace Coss took Vicky. First game in Parnell Park, she did brilliantly. It was a heavy day and she just drove Vicky demented, I think. She literally, like Brendan McCall tried to do last week against the great man himself.
Not easy.
Just hands on, not easy, like hands on body checking. So Grace did a great job that day, and then the next two games she was given the task again and didn't go to plan. Vicky had a big impact. So she's gone, obviously. She's one of the crew gone to, I think she's gone to Sydney. So the obvious is Goldie. I think everybody would think Goldie. It's been tried and tested before and it hasn't worked. I just think, like, Goldie is also one of the strongest players on, will be tomorrow on the pitch. But physically, I just think Vicky has the edge over her. And I think pace-wise as well, again, while Goldie is so fast and probably one of the fastest on that team, she has lost a little bit of pace. And that's why I would tend not to pick her if I was picking, because I also think with Sinead, if you have her on a different wing or you have her somewhere else, you'll get the best out of her. You're nearly sacrificing her game too much. So I think the obvious choice then for me is probably Ailish O'Dowd in the midfield. You know, Ailish will come in, she'll just do anything that you ask her. Selfless player, really strong, really physical, unassumingly strong, actually. So I could see her tracking Vicky. And then I think Dublin will flood the middle. I think they'll have four or five across that middle to try and limit the space. And when Vicky gets the ball, they'll just try and smother her. Like, it literally, I'd say, will be everybody to Vicky wherever she is on the pitch. Other matchups, can't wait for Lee Caffrey and Emma Duggan. That's literally been tit for tat. I think Lee is in better form this year. I think Leah, if Dublin win on Sunday, Leah's probably in the nod for player of the year, should be in that shortlist. And Emma's been playing really well. Like, I was looking at her scores, and she's probably averaging 5 points a game, but we're not seeing the Emma Duggan that we've seen in the past. And because, again, being selfless, she seems to be, her job is that inside forward line, and she doesn't leave it. So that creative nature of hers has been taken away from her, you know, and she, Vicky has been given the free rein now. So I think Emma and Leah, that's a big one. Another, Niamh Galgley has been in really good form for me. I think she's going to get it tough against Martha Byrne. I think that's going to be a real battle. Two real feisty players, two players who play on the edge, you could say. So I think Martha could shade that one. Ciara Smith actually has been unbelievable for me this year. And whoever takes her, like, they could put Goldie on her, I suppose, but she's had a serious, serious influence. And yeah, I think they'll be the key ones, really. Yeah, that's a lot. Sorry.
Actually, just on the Vicky one. Mm. When you're in that dressing room as well, and like Nadine references last Sunday, there's obviously also an inverse motivation for the other players. Like, it's not all about Vicky. So what's it like, almost planning what they'll do in terms of Vicky when they're in the me dressing room? Because like, you have to be ready for as like crowding out and so on.
Yeah, I think while others will focus solely maybe on Vicky, I think when you're in that dressing room, it's very much a collective unit, and it's, you know, what can we all do to contribute to this game? So I think in the me dressing room, they won't be just focusing on, you know, we need to make sure Vicky, you know, gets on the ball or whatever that needs to be. I think there are plenty of other people, like I think Kerry Cole, when she comes out in front all the time, I think she played very well against Kerry. So I think Dublin will have to be mindful of her, Ciara Smith. And like you said, I know Emma Duggan probably isn't playing that free role that she normally would, but it's that selfish role that she has to do to kind of, you know, make space for others coming through. So I think while, you know, Vicky is a very important player for Meath, I don't think the Meath setup is, you know, as focused on her as you Absolutely. Know, outside camps will be. And, you know, I think Sinead Goldrick will pick up Vicky, but...
Do you reckon?
Yeah, I just kind of think the...
Oh, wouldn't surprise me. Yeah. Absolutely, I agree.
I think Sinead seems to, I don't know, they kind of relish, you know, the challenge of each other kind of thing. So, I don't know, there's talk now that Niamh Heddington is going to be, I think she's named to start full forward. Yeah. She's been starting in the middle, so I don't know.
Yeah, maybe, her and Carla have kind of been switching in and out.
So I kind of wonder, is it Dublin's plan to try and, you know, get on the scoreboard early as we can with maybe a goal here with, you know, Hannah Tyrrell and Niamh Heddington inside, long ball in, high ball in, you know. So you just don't know what way it's going to pan out. It'll be very interesting to see the kind of matchups there, and will Jess Hogan pick up Kerry Cole, or, you know.
Yeah. Who'll pick up Evan Cleary? She has been absolutely outrageous this year.
She's so athletic. Oh my God, she's unbelievable. A really good ball carrier.
She has been phenomenal. She's probably been, her and Vicky obviously have been their best players. I think she's been unreal. So Dublin will, like, they'll have that down on their card as well. Absolutely. She's contributed 2 or 3 scores each game. Her running, she's just a fabulous, fabulous footballer.
Yeah, absolutely.
Fab. Mm. Give us your matchup.
Well, I think, you know, you've named a lot of players there that are going to stand up and stand out tomorrow. You just hope that they don't cancel each other out. And I suppose, like, when you do look at players like Vicky Wall and Hannah Tura, like, the biggest thing you want to do is deny them the ball. So it is everyone else around you that's going to play a pivotal role in terms of not allowing them possession. I think that's where both managements really should be looking at, trying to deny them possession. Because once they have the ball, it's very, very difficult to get it off them. And you're either looking at a score or a foul. And if it's a foul within scoring range, both Emma Duggan and Hannah Tyrrell have the capabilities of putting everything over.
We'll say with Sinead and Hannah, like, we'll talk on Hannah shortly, how hard is it to maintain your quality at that age, like to keep, just to keep it and to keep the commitment, and including potentially with the young family as well, in Hannah's case.
I think you have to be a lot smarter. I don't think you have to be doing the dog of training that you would have been doing when you were a bit younger. I think it's about maintenance and your recovery, and I suppose the mindset actually is a big thing. And listening to Hannah's interview after the game against Galway, like her getting that free to level the game, like, you know, it was just another kick of the ball for her.
It's amazing, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. Yeah, so calm, so collected. Like, she never had a doubt in her mind that that ball wasn't going to go over.
So that's the thing, once doubt creeps in, doubt is there.
So I think the likes of, you know, of Sinead Godric and Hannah Turrell, like, their mindset, they're well prepared.
So if Sinead and Vicky, how will that matchup work out if in your head?
Very physical encounter.
The referee might have a part to play in it.
Yeah, that's probably where maybe the ref will. There might be an early talking to the both of them. But again, like, we probably don't want to see both of them cancelled out either. It's hard to know because Sinead loves to carry the ball forward as well. So, and even, I know your point about with Niamh Gallogly and Martha Byrne. Martha Byrne likes to kind of keep the house safe. Niamh Gallogly likes to do an awful lot of running back. So I can't see Martha tracking Niamh all the way. I think maybe Niamh will, you know, carry. And then once she gets into the zone, maybe pick her up. But then do you want to give Niamh Gallogly momentum coming in? So it's very hard to know.
Gus Chapman is referee, if I get this right. Does he have to, like, at least, and you listen to players, you just want consistency and you want to know what the message is. So does he have to at least, like, make his point very, very early? This is the level I'm looking at in terms of managing the situation, which is going to be a physical game.
Yeah, and he seems to be, when you watch him on television, he seems to be the type of ref who talks a lot to the players.
He does.
Names the players. It's all very comfortable.
Is that a good or a bad?
I don't know. I didn't like that as a player.
I didn't
like that over familiarity. I didn't see the need for it. You know, it's not about you. Just ref the game. We don't have to be friends. He lets the game flow to a point. You always have a worry that the referee becomes the central focus
the story,
of the game. Yeah. So you'd hope that he doesn't. Back to, you know, Sinead Godric. You know, staying fit. I interviewed Sinead last year, I think it was, for an article, and she wasn't long back from Australia, and she just said, in terms of her injury, Sinead would have always suffered with her hamstrings, and she had a really bad injury going over there, and she just said the rehab she got over there was absolutely incredible, and that probably has given her more longevity in that sense. But it's the whole S&C around it, and those players, like, they're just so driven. You know, if you're playing for that long, they just love Dublin. Like, Sinead Godric just absolutely loves Dublin. And that's why she's been here all season. You know, that's why she's not in Melbourne. She probably will be next week. But they're just phenomenal, phenomenal athletes. And I mean, Sinead Godric's at this since she was 14, 15 in the Dublin scene. It's incredible. And like Hannah going over and back from different sports.
There'll be an awful lot of people listening in who will probably, this will be the game that they'll choose to watch this year because they're flicking in and out of sports. And that battle will be amazing if it happened.
Sinead and Vicky. Oh yeah, absolutely. And look, both incredible athletes. And it would mean so much to both of them to win another All-Ireland final. So yeah, I think it's one worth watching, whether it comes to fruition. Maybe even for just parts of the game.
Yeah.
You know, it might not be a whole 60-minute job that they have to mark each other, but I think even going back to, like, the likes of Hannah Tyrrell, I think maybe, you know, whether it's Mary-Kate Lynch or potentially Áine Sheridan that pick her up, they're well aware, they're well used to marking each other in there. So I think Meath will, you know, they'll be comfortable enough. They know Hannah's game. They know what she's about. I think they just need to be careful with the freeze. Be careful not to concede too much inside because we know Hannah will slot them over. So
Alana produced a good Sligo native and all that points out. Gus is very big in explaining his decisions. So did you like that as players?
Yeah.
Like at least it's not, you're not left in the dark.
Yeah, I
like that as well. I too will be on your side about the whole familiarity with
familiarity.
Yeah, with just
but again,
the names.
Isn't that an issue though? Like if you need to be told, like, or explained, like, you know, talked it through, like, you know, what's, there has to be some sort of, you know,
Yeah, it probably is an issue.
Well, back to Hannah and Sinead, so, and the swan song for Hannah. Like, how hard is it to keep going when you reach, like, so I'm, 42 now, and it's actually frightening your 40s how much you slow down. Your mid-30s, early 30s, how hard is it to keep going?
I think when she's obviously an athlete, she's motivated, driven to win. I think even when you retire, it never really leaves you, no matter what you're in. You know, you're competitive by nature, so that's what she seems to be. I know, I think it was in extra time with the Galway game, she ran back and put a hand in to knock the ball off the Galway pair, and it was as if she had just scored a goal. That's what it meant to her. You know, so I think, you know, regardless of age, yes, it obviously is harder. You have to, you know, maintain yourself and look after yourself that bit more, but at the end of the day.
Yeah, you are doing it because you love it.
Yeah. You wouldn't be there if you didn't love it.
We've 10 minutes to left. Where does Hannah stand in the greats of, like, suppose, the icons of the women's game? Starting with you, Fabian.
Yeah, she has to be up there. And especially the fact that she's represented Ireland in rugby. And
Very good soccer player.
Yeah, soccer player, footballer. Like, she's everything going for her. I think it's a name that we're going to remember. She's probably on par now, like with the likes of Cora Staunton and those. So yeah, she'll have a big say in tomorrow's final.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, she's definitely like a household name now, which is great. You know, you need those for the women's game as well, you know. So, but not every player gets their fairy tale end either.
Yeah.
So, you know, look, regardless of what way it goes tomorrow, she's had a fantastic career across a number of different sports. So, her legacy is well and truly there for the rest of her.
Yeah, everyone's just thinking, you know, about it's so hard to come back every year. It's a lot easier to come back when you're in with the chance of winning All Ireland.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Well, you know, that does make a big difference.
Like Michael Murphy as well. It's like, well, okay, but yeah,
But still, I mean, it's huge. Hannah, yeah, absolutely. Look, Hannah's phenomenal and she has been phenomenal. Would she be in my top six Dublin forwards of all time? I'm not sure. Like, if I was there with Hannah or Sinead Ahern. Probably
like your honesty, Hearn.
I'm being honest.
Yeah.
She's class, and I know Hannah really well. And listen, she's been one of the top forwards for the last 5 years. But Dublin have had some serious forwards. And look, she'll have a big say tomorrow. And the thing about Hannah, you know, Hannah kind of fades in and out of games, and she even said that herself in the Galway game. She'd been relatively quiet up until the last 10 minutes.
Yeah.
But then she is that type of player, regardless of how the game has gone for her. In the big moments, if she is given an opportunity to step up, she will step up, as she demonstrated in that semi-final, and she's demonstrated multiple times before. So I really hope for her tomorrow that she has a brilliant game, because it is her last and it will be her last, unless she does a Michael Murphy on it down the line. And Hannah's a really good person. She's a great person, and she's done a huge amount to promote the game. You know, she'll do any launch, she'll go anywhere, she'll give interviews, which you don't get that often from players, even in the women's game now. So Hannah has given a huge amount. She owes the sport nothing, and you'd hope that it goes well for her tomorrow.
Unless you're from Meath. Shane McCormack's an interesting article in the Irish News about the abuse after a loss. It's gone back to 2010. Paul Keane had an article in the Irish News about abuse after loss that nearly destroyed him, and he's just talking about his journey. What imprint has he made?
Yeah, I think he's made, like, obviously fantastic strides. We're trying to, like, again, bridge that gap between the experienced players and bringing in new players, because, you know, for a long time there, it was kind of that core group that was with Eamon Murray, Paul Garrigan, that kind of, that set up for a number of years, and kind of, you know, you knew each other inside out. You could have played with each other blindfolded. It was just that kind of, you know, the camaraderie between each other. So I think he's done a good job bringing in new players, you know, scouting out within the county to see who's available, and getting girls in. And I do think the wins in 21 and 22 have made girls want to play for Meath, which is great because for a long time...
It is hard at times, yeah.
Yeah, for a long time, like you said, like if there's maybe no prospect of winning something...
It's hard to commit.
Girls aren't as interested in committing, and you can totally see why. So, you know, you do need a win, or you need something like a carrot to kind of, you know, to draw people into the game. And win or lose tomorrow, there will be girls there. There will be little girls in the stand that will now want to play for me, then I think that's absolutely massive. Fantastic.
And Casey Murray, Fabian, then in Dublin. So at least you come through an extra time, a massive battle against Galway, and history is written by the winners. What imprint have they made after 8 years of McMahon?
Yeah, well, I think that continuity, you know, them there, it definitely helps the team. I think it would be a different story if it was a different, totally different kind of setup coming in, having to start all over again, getting to know players. So that's a massive advantage. And yeah, we don't know whether there's influence from Mick Bowen there or not.
Well, I'll get you in on that actually, Ian, because...
I don't think so. There was a rumour going around a few weeks ago and then TG Carr shot to him in the stands. Yes. He was on the phone right after the game.
Who's he on the phone to?
Probably his wife to say that they won. Louise, who played with Dublin for years.
Aidan O'Brien is always like, I think it's his wife he's caught in that.
I'd say so. Yeah. And now, look, the lads worked under Mick for years. Do they have conversations? Of course they do.
But it's like,
you know,
Joey O'Brien and Damien Duff with Chills, are they probably still talking? I'm sure, like, either that or they're completely
They're friends. Yeah. I mean, the thing for me is, like, if Mick Bowen wanted to still be the manager of Dublin, the likelihood of him still being the manager of Dublin is very high, you know. But just talking about both management teams, I think with Shane McCormick, like, he did come in at a tricky enough time for Meath. Mm. Like, they were in a bit of disarray. So initially, the first year, he just had to steady that ship, which he did really well. I think getting Vicky to commit for this year, and I know we've talked about her a lot, but like, and you spoke about it, like having her presence on a training pitch, I'd say, has given me such a boost this
it's just
year.
Looking at somebody that would inspire you.
Yeah. And, so
and you'd almost like cut out the.
Yeah. So for him to convince her to do that, maybe he didn't have to convince her, but you know, he's done really well in that regard. And he's also experienced in the LGFA. He was with Armagh, you know, for a couple of years. And then with the two lads in Dublin, again, that continuity. They seem very popular with the girls as well. They know the girls inside out. I think for them taking over was a really big, big job. You know, coming in after the success of Mick, you're always going to be judged to the highest of standards in Dublin. So for them to take over, I think, was not brave, but, you know, I just think fair play to them. And I'd say they were approached by some of the girls to stay on. So that if they didn't, I don't think Dublin would be in a final. And I don't think Hannah would have played this year.
Yeah.
Goldie, Sinead, or Leah Caffrey, you know those players, Martha Byrne, you're not retiring them, but they're coming to the end of the line.
So before we wrap up, where is the AFL sort of crossover influence? You see, is Eamon Cleary's off to Richmond, Sinead Goldrick, obviously Vicky Wall. So how's the crossover affecting the game as well, actually? We'll start with you, Fabian.
I think it's a good promotion for the game as well, because without Gaelic football, they wouldn't have had that opportunity. You know, they're going over there and they're getting the best of care, and in terms of off pitch recovery and Sinead Goldrick with her rehab and all that, it's such an experience for them. And you want to see the ladies being treated that way. And sometimes, you know, we don't get that treatment here. Now it is getting better, and it is much better than it was. But I do think it's, as long as we can, you know, if there's a way of that they can do both, like, why not? At the minute, anyway.
Yeah, that'd be my only fear, that if it starts to creep in where, you know, girls have to leave earlier in the season, or, you know, it's well balanced now at the moment, but I don't know what the future may hold for it. Will some of the clubs in the AFL say, you know, no, we need you in May, or we need you earlier?
It's happened. Kayleigh Cronin, such a loss to Kerry this year. She played the league. They started her in every game, started her in the final. And then your centre-back is gone. You know, I think it's decimated our game, to be honest. Yeah, absolutely.
But what do you do about it?
You can't offer the money. You can't offer the weather. You can't offer those opportunities. Absolutely. I don't like the way our game is promoted alongside the AFL. I think we've eased off a little bit. But, like, TG Cahir showed the AFL.
I actually found
that
strange,
absolutely bizarre.
Yeah.
Because you're our biggest sponsor and you're marketing our direct opponent.
To be honest,
the game itself, I don't like it. I don't get it.
TG Carr, like, has been so great for the game, but that was a bit.
It was an own goal, like. So you have young players now tuning into the AFL and thinking, there's 40 players gone. Kellyanne Hogan, massive loss to Waterford. I think if you can call the shots, in a sense, and not everybody is able to stay in Ireland for the full season and then head out 2 weeks before pre-season. There's only the top tier players. So I just think it's ruining our game.
Strong words. We are wrapping up. Lovely text in. I've seen Hannah in Albert College Park practicing since she joined Nafina with my daughters. She has been and still is such a brilliant role model, class act. and a lovely person to chat with. And that kind of thing you have in your head of like when you see it in the movies where that person is just by himself or herself, just nobody's watching, but just practice. In winter, the depths of winter, it's true. Like, it actually is true. Okay, we're going to wrap up very shortly. How good a game is it going to be for the neutral, and ultimately, will your beloved Royals prevail?
Yeah, I think it's going to be a cracker of a game. I think it always is between Meath and Dublin. That rivalry is always there. It's deep-rooted. There's a great respect for each other, but, you know, when that ball's thrown in, you know, all cards are on the table. Like, we're gonna just see everyone. Hopefully, you know, give their best shot. I would love to see that it's not a stop start game. That it's, you know, kind of hell for leather. We've got like hard tackles. A lot of great scoring opportunities. But I am hoping for a Meath win tomorrow. I'm confident. Okay. I really am. I do think. I think there's an energy about the camp. I think they're peaking at the right time. And yeah, I'm really hopeful that we'll see Aiveann Cleary on the Hogan stand tomorrow.
Fabian?
Yeah, they're both very evenly matched. I think they're coming in with both averaging like 16 scores each coming into the final. Meath are kind of getting better with every game. But yeah, I can't look past Dublin. I think they're going to pip the post with a couple of points at the end. I just think all over, they're just that little bit more powerful, faster, letting the ball go a little bit more, creating those opportunities, and especially going in with confidence, like when you have the likes of Carla Rowe back heeling a goal, you're coming off of that semi-final. When you're coming off a semi-final win like that after extra time, like you're only going to be at the highest of your confidence. So I think it's going to be a Dublin win tomorrow.
You get more of this in the Sindo tomorrow, but
I can't see past Dublin. If Meath manage to do it, which they have the capacity to do it, they've done it before. But if that does happen, if Meath win, I think Dublin will have to have had a psychological meltdown, essentially. And the fear for Dublin maybe is that they used all that drive against Galway, like Galway was their target because of last year. But I think just at the back of those girls' heads that the 2021 is burning there. And until they beat Meath in an All-Ireland final,
it'll be there.
That candle will be burning, yeah.
What sort of crowd?
I'd say mid-40s. I mean, Meath are brilliantly supported. Yeah. They're wonderfully supported. They're brilliant fans. Talking to John Green yesterday from the Indo, actually, and I was asking him, are you going to the game? He said his son, who's like 15 years old, Meath mad. So that's brilliant. And then the Dubs, obviously, sure, it's on their doorstep, so you'd hope they come out in their droves. And in fairness, I saw the Camogie president this week, Brian Malloy, plug in the LGFA final, which is great to see. I'd say mid-40s. But wouldn't it be great if at some point we get, you know, you fill the stadium? I think the LGFA have to aim higher than 50. I think we're happy with this 40 to 50. Why not go for the 80 and get 70, or, you know?
Yeah. League of Ireland's actually kind of similar to that, where you're like,
Yeah.
Brilliant to talk to you all, guys. I actually can't wait now. Just to see, like, there's also so much of a human story behind people coming to the end of their careers as well, and what it means ultimately. And it's also Dublin v Meads.
Yeah. Football on Off the Ball.
Yeah, just a little bit standoffish, to be honest. And I just said that to the lads in the dressing room. We're getting too much respect. And for me, on a football pitch, when you give teams too much respect, it's a fear. Yeah, didn't like it.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.